Now, one of the more prominent members of the quantified self community is a guy named Nicholas Felton. He's a former Facebook designer, and he's also an obsessive self-tracker. And for him, the issue isn't how much data you can collect about yourself, it's what to do with it. And because he's a designer, he makes his personal data beautiful. He calls his data sets his annual reports, and some of them are actually in the permanent collection of the Museum of Modern Art. Sarah Nix talked with him.
What's the first thing you tracked about yourself?
The first thing that got me hooked on investigating my own habits was a website called Last.fm. And this allowed me to connect all the songs that I played in iTunes to a website. This was this whole really interesting area of my life in which I had almost complete transparency into my habits. And that kind of led me on this quest of wanting to have that perspective on other aspects of my life. It might be a quirk of my personality, but I think that there's this interesting rift between the way that we describe ourselves, our own like unquantified self-image, our qualitative view of ourselves, and what's quantified. So it's nice to me when these things link up, but it's also nice to discover biases in your behavior that you didn't really understand.
It's like being your own anthropologist or something.
Yeah, or just hitting record on your life and then seeing what comes out of it.
We should explain what the annual reports are. Can you just explain how they work and when you started doing them?
Sure. So the annual report is a project that I undertake every single year, and I've been doing it for about 9 years now. The report takes the form of me tracking some set of behaviors over the course of the year, and then in January, sitting down and trying to create data visualizations and quantifications of the activities that I undertook over the course of the year. I'm trying to create as complete a record of my life as I can in the 16 pages of this printed book that I produce at the end of the year.
What's the value of the kind of over the course of the year view for you?
So I think a lot of the products that people use that quantify their life, they're focused on optimization. And optimization of all aspects of my life is not an explicit goal. So I'm merely driven by this curiosity about whether you can quantify different behaviors and whether there's something useful at the end of that data stream. So is there an interesting story or a curious factoid or a pattern that sort of lays bare your behavior in one single graph?
Well, I'm really kind of fascinated to hear that you didn't just assume that there would be value in looking at the year as a whole, like that you went in looking to see whether there would be value in the experiment. I mean, I assume that you put all that energy in because you believed utterly that it would be valuable.
Yeah, I don't know if that enough people have worked with this data to actually know what the value is. And over the course of this project, it's been fun to work with quantifying things that I don't think have been very deeply explored yet and to see if there is any value with it.
I want to make it really clear to everybody who's listening that the visual representations you make are often really beautiful. They're very elaborate. They're kind of compelling. They look a little mysterious, like you want to spend some time with them to get to the bottom of what's actually happening in the visualizations. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is, are there ways in which the visualizations, in all their beauty and depth, can actually be misleading? You know, it's that like lies, damn lies, statistics, and now it's like visualized statistics, even worse, more seductive.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at my reports, it's an act of exploration for myself. So I'm trying to find something that resonates for me. And, you know, my editorial process in making these is not to mislead people about my behavior. I don't want to share my most intimate secrets in these reports, but I'm hoping that there is some sort of pattern that appears that is unique to me and is not there simply for the sake of being seductive.
You have worked with at least one other person's data, right? Your dad's. Can you tell me about that project?
Certainly. My dad was born in 1929 in Berlin, and he lived a long and full life before I was ever born. And he had an incredible set of travel stories. And my sister and I, for years, really wanted him to write down his life story for us to pass on to our family. And we spent some time videotaping him talking about it. But, you know, ultimately, he slipped through our fingers and he passed away. And I didn't feel like I had a great grasp of how his life had progressed. And as my sister and I were going through the mementos he left behind, I started setting aside these piles of data-rich personal belongings, like his passports and his letters, receipts that he'd kept. And at a certain point, I realized that his personal history was stored in all these mementos. And I asked my sister if she'd be all right with me parsing it and trying to figure out if I could rebuild his life story from these mementos. And she gave me her blessing. So I think it took about 2 months to go through everything. And ultimately, I was able to step through his life sort of decade by decade, matching up like an old photo from a passport with this quantified view of like what his early years in Berlin were like, all the way through to living like the 50s and 60s in Canada and coming to the Bay Area in the 70s. And then my sister and I showing up and how this impacted his life. And
do you feel like you knew him better at the end of all of that?
I did. It was a very therapeutic process of just being, you know, sort of meditating over his stuff and learning these things about his life. Ultimately, like, we had a memorial for him, and I had these printed reports, and it was amazing to me that I was able to hand it to his 70 and 80-year-old friends, and they immediately got it and, you know, could identify themselves in the apartments he lived in or the museums that he'd gone to or the restaurants that he liked. And so that was very heartwarming for me, and I think it was almost like this, you know, literal scattering of his ashes, being able to send these reports to people who collect them, like in Europe and in South America. And so I liked the idea that he's living on in all these people's libraries around the world.
You know, after I took a moment and sat back and took a deep breath after going through some of the reports, I started to think about how mystics and scientists and philosophers as well have over the centuries asked what life is. And I wondered, particularly with your dad's project and maybe with the culmination of all of your projects, what you're trying to do is figure out what life is. Can it be quantified?
Yeah, I mean, if I get mystic about it, I do have this, I don't know, almost like philosopher's goal in mind, that perhaps if I collect just the right data and represent it in just the right way, it all makes sense.
Nicholas Felton's personal data visualizations are in the permanent collection of the Museum of Modern Art. And he's also designed an app to help other people obsessively document their lives. It's called Reporter. Sarah next talked with him.